tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. When it comes to the subject that we're going to be dealing with tonight, most people break out in a cold sweat just thinking about it. The thought of skipping a meal is troubling, right? And the thought of not eating for 24 hours is purely traumatic. We have a hard time dealing with it. But the fact is, fasting is actually very beneficial. It's very beneficial for us in two key ways. First of all, it's good for us. It's good for us physically. It's good for us physically. It's actually been documented. You can go online and there's all kinds of information that you can find about fasting and the physical benefits of it. But you'll find that fasting actually it's beneficial for the body. It's beneficial for your physical body. It's beneficial in that it helps you to lose weight. Fasting also is beneficial for the health of your heart. Fasting is also beneficial when it comes to managing diabetes without medication, and the list just goes on and on and on. How that it physically it is good for us as far as our body is concerned. But not only is it physically beneficial for us as far as our body is concerned, it's also beneficial for us when it comes to our mind. When it comes to our mind, by fasting. It is said that the quality of your sleep is actually improved. Sometimes I feel more and more like my dad. My dad used to say some time ago, he would say, you know, I'm sick and tired of waking up feeling sick and tired. Fasting. You like that, do you? Fasting, it's beneficial. Quality of sleep is also beneficial in that it helps to hold down mood swings. Fasting does that. It's also documented that fasting can also be beneficial in the prevention of Alzheimer's. And so good for us as far as our body is concerned, good for us as far as our mind is concerned. So there's these physical benefits that can come as a result of fasting. But that's not what Jesus is going to be talking about in our text. When he deals with the subject of fasting, he's going to show us how that it is good for us spiritually. It's beneficial for us spiritually. And so in this Sermon on the Mount, as the Lord Jesus continues this message that we've been looking at now for the past several weeks, we're going to see how that the Lord Jesus is going to deal with... I want it back. Okay. We're going to see how the Lord Jesus is going to deal with this subject of fasting and a couple of points that we want to notice together this evening. First of all, number one, let's look at the discipline of fasting. It's not something that's going to come natural. But there is a discipline that is involved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, he said, "Moreover, when ye fast." Notice it is not if you fast. Did you notice that? It's not if you fast. He says, "Moreover, when you fast." You see, the Jews were expected to fast in their religious work, in their religious life. In fact, Jews were required to fast on the Day of Atonement. The Lord God commanded back in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse number 31. The law said, "It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall," notice the wording, "ye shall afflict your souls." Ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. That phrase, afflict your souls, we find a good definition for it in Psalm 35 and verse number 13, where the psalmist said, "I humbled my soul. I afflicted my soul." How did you do it? With fasting. I afflicted, I humbled my soul with fasting. And so during the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur, all adult Jews were not to eat any food or to take any drink. There are five other fasting days in the Jewish year, and those fast days were established to remember times of catastrophe in the nation's history, or to remember times of suffering. Times of suffering. One Jewish rabbi, there's a book called The Book of Our Heritage, and this Jewish rabbi, here's what he said. He said, talking about these fast days, their purpose is to help us recall the negative behavior of our ancestors that led to those calamities, and to focus our attention on our own parallel behavior that continues to drive our nation into similar negative situations. In other words, it was the purpose of the fast to remember the failures of the past so that those failures would not be repeated in the future. That's what the fasting was for. They afflicted their souls that they might not repeat the same spiritual mistakes of their ancestors. This same rabbi, he also wrote this. He said, "One who fasts and spends the day idly without repentance." In other words, he is fasting merely for the physical benefits and he ignores the spiritual. Okay? Wants the physical, but he ignores the spiritual. "One who fasts and spends the day idly without repentance misses the point." Misses the point. That person is emphasizing the fasting, which is secondary, and de-emphasizing the repentance, which is primary. An example is seen in the story of Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah, right? God called him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and he was to go and he was to declare the impending judgments of the Lord God against that place, how that God was going to destroy it. And the Bible says, as a result of that preaching of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 7, it says that the king caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything." What is that? That's fasting. "Don't taste anything, let them not feed or drink water." In other words, the king commanded a fast. But then look down just a couple of verses there in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 10. Here's what it says. It says, "And God saw their fasting." Is that what it says? No, God saw their works. God saw their works. What was the work they had done? Look what it says. "That they turned from their evil way." In other words, the fasting would have been a wasted religious exercise if it had not been accompanied by the work of repentance. And God spared the place, not because they fasted. He spared the place because they repented. Because they repented. And so therefore we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, excuse me, verse number 1, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them." And as they fasted, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verse number 3, it says that they separated themselves from things that were wicked. They read the law of the Lord God 1/4 part of the day. Do you realize how long that is? That means they read the Bible for 6 hours. They read the Bible for 6 hours, and not only that, they confessed their sins, the Bible says, for another 1/4 part of 6 hours reading the Bible, 6 hours confessing their sin. Not much time for TV when you do all of that, right? And not only that, they worshiped the Lord their God. See, that's all of that was involved in their fasting. All of that was involved in their fasting. Bottom line, the Jews in those days when Jesus was bringing this message, they were very familiar with fasting. They knew what fasting was all about, and so therefore the Lord Jesus, in this sermon, He did not need to explain it to them. He did not need to explain to them what fasting was all about. He simply stated the principle. And when it comes to the principle, simply stated, the principle, the behind fasting, was that men should abstain from food and drink. In other words, they abstain from satisfying the natural desires of the flesh in order that they might devote themselves entirely to the Lord. That's the principle right there. It is depriving the natural desires of the flesh in order that we might devote ourselves entirely to the Lord. In other words, instead of devoting their time and thoughts to physical pleasures, they devoted their time and their thoughts to their spiritual relationship and their spiritual walk with God. Now, I want you to understand that you do not have to fast in order to serve the Lord. I know some of you are going, boy, I'm glad that's out of the way. No, you don't have to fast. You don't have to fast in order to serve the Lord. But it is clearly evident from the Scriptures that our power, when it comes to serving God, our power can be enhanced with fasting. Our power can be in not just fasting, but fasting the biblical way. In fact, that's why the Lord Jesus told His disciples, you remember, after they failed to have victory over those demon spirits that were in that particular man that they were dealing with, the Lord Jesus, you remember, after casting them out, the disciples came and said, hey, what's wrong? How come we couldn't do that? And here's what Jesus told them. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. So the discipline of fasting is simply, it is simply to deny our physical desires, the desires of the flesh, in order that we might grow closer to the Lord in our relationship with Him through the study of His Word and through prayer. That's what fasting is. In other words, we take the time that we would normally spend eating, and we spend that time with God. We spend that time with God. And so that's the principle that we need to understand. Number two, notice the distortion of fasting. The distortion of it, as we've seen through our study going through this Sermon on the Mount, many times we've seen the Lord Jesus addressing something that the people were doing, but they were doing it in the wrong way, doing it with the wrong motives. And so again, we find that very same thing. He's going to address this issue concerning those who were doing a good thing. They were doing a right thing, but they were not doing it in the right way. They were doing it in a wrong way. In other words, their motives were totally off base. And there are two things that the Lord is going to mention here. First of all, He talks about their betrayal. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, He said, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. In other words, when these hypocrites would fast, they would do a couple of things. First of all, number one, they would put on a sad look. They would put on a sad look. You know, it's amazing that even today there are some people who equate being spiritual with being miserable. And the more miserable you are, the more spiritual you must be. It's like they have the idea that God is some kind of cosmic killjoy that wants to suck all the happiness out of your life, you know. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is, as Adam Clark said in his commentary, he noted this. He said, a hypocrite has always a difficult part to act. When he wishes to appear as a penitent, not having any godly sorrow at heart, he is obliged to counterfeit it the best way that he can by a gloomy and austere look. And so the hypocrite, in order to try to look like he is being spiritual while he's fasting, he would put on this long, sad face. But it didn't stop there. Not only did they put on a sad look, number two, they put on a soiled look. In other words, they would not only look sad, but they would disfigure their faces. Again, quoting Albert Barnes in his commentary, he said this. He said, "It is said that they were often in the habit of throwing ashes on their heads and faces, and this, mixing with their tears, served still further to disfigure their faces." And so they put on this long, sad look. They work up these big crocodile tears. They throw dirt and ashes on their head. And they walk around looking so spiritual. Playing the part. Remember, they're hypocrites. So they're playing the part. They're playing the part. And the Lord Jesus very clearly saw through all of it. And so therefore He identifies, letter B, their motive. He identifies their motive. Motives in fasting were the same issue that the prophet dealt with back in the Old Testament. The motives of fasting. Same issue. That Isaiah dealt with. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 3. The people are asking, the people of Israel are saying, "Wherefore have we fasted?" say they. "Wherefore have we fasted? And thou seest not." Here we are, we're fasting, you're not paying any attention. God, here we are, we're afflicting our soul and we're fasting and you're not watching. You don't pay any attention to it. And wherefore have we afflicted our soul? And you take no knowledge of it. And then as you go through and you read the next couple of verses in Isaiah 58, verse 3, verse 4, you find that there are three reasons given why God did not pay any attention to their fasting. Three reasons why God paid no knowledge to it. First of all, the people would fast, but during their fasting, they continued to indulge in satisfying every carnal pleasure. Even though they were fasting, they continued to seek to satisfy and demand all that was due to them. They wanted to have both sides. While we're serving God, we also want to satisfy our flesh, you see. And God said, "I'm not going to pay any attention to that fast." Not only that, Isaiah 58, verse number 4, they would fast, the whole nation would fast. And they would fast to implore God's blessings on wars that were being fought for the purposes of wrath or ambition. It's kind of like in America, you know, before we have a football game, if you watch American football, they always have a prayer, you know, before the game. And usually the prayer goes something like this. God, help us to break their legs. Help us to win this game, whatever it takes. You know? Real spiritual giants we are there in America, you know. But that the same idea. These people were fasting in order that they might gain the ambitions, the desires that they had. God says, I'm not going to honor that fast. I'm not going to pay any attention to that fast. And then also in verse number 4 of Isaiah 58, you find the people would fast even while involved in personal strife. Their passions were unsubdued and they gave vent to their passions in the most disgraceful personal encounters while they're fasting. And God says, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. And the Lord God said, these are not attitudes. These are not attitudes that a nation ought to have. They're not attitudes that a man ought to have when they're fasting. Shouldn't have those kind of attitudes. Shouldn't have those kind of attitudes. But during the days of the Lord Jesus, there was another wicked motive that had come on the scene. Another wicked motive for fasting that had become widespread. And that's what Jesus is going to point out very clearly here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. They were fasting, notice it, that they may appear unto men to fast. In other words, their fasting was not because they really desired a change in their sinful actions. And they were not fasting because they really desired to draw closer to their God. Rather, their desire was that in fasting, men might see their outward display of humility, that men might take notice of their outward self-denial, and that men might then praise them and exalt them as true holy men who are worthy of exaltation. That was their goal. That was what they wanted. Now, please understand that fasting will be of little benefit if it is done in pride to exalt and to magnify ourselves. You may get some physical benefits, but there'll be no spiritual benefits in it at all. If our purpose is to exalt self and to magnify self. Because of the motive of their hearts, the Lord Jesus then speaks of another thing, and that is their reward. Their reward. You see, God is never pleased when we use our outward acts of worship. Listen very carefully. God is never pleased when we use our outward acts of worship to be seen and praised by men instead of seeking to honor and glorify God. That should be our number one priority. We saw this when we were dealing with the subject of prayer. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5? And now we find the same thing again. Notice it in chapter 6, verse number 16. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Are you fasting because you want to be honored and praised and exalted by men? Well, you got it. That's all you've got. You have your reward. You have your reward. In other words, while men may be impressed with a religious display of outward piety, God, who knows the motive of every heart, is not impressed. He is not impressed. And He will not reward that with His blessing. And so we see the discipline of fasting. We see the distortion of fasting. But then number three, I want you to notice the discretion of fasting. John Wesley, in his sermon on fasting, he said this. He said, "First, let fasting be done unto the Lord." Boy, if we stopped right there, that would be a great statement. First, let fasting be done unto the Lord. But then he continues, "With our eye singly fixed on Him, let our intention herein be this, and this alone, to glorify our Father which is in heaven." That ought to be the motive of our fasting. That ought to be the motive. And that's exactly what the Lord God expects. Notice it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18. But thou, don't be like the hypocrite. Don't just be putting on a show to try to impress men. If that's your desire, you'll have your reward. But when you fast, here's how you ought to do it. Jesus said, "When thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast." In other words, you don't have the long hangdog look, you know. I heard one, this may not make any sense to some of you, maybe some of you will understand it. I heard one preacher say some people have a face that's so long it looks like a Missouri mule sucking dill pickle juice through a stovepipe. I'll explain that later. In other words, it's a long face, okay? It's a long face. Don't do that. Anoint your head. Put on some hair gel and comb your hair, okay? Wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. But doesn't this sound familiar? Thy Father which seeth in secret, He will reward you openly. A couple of things here. First of all, there's the proper appearance. The proper appearance. The hypocrites wanted to appear sad and weak in the eyes of men. They wanted to portray themselves as being men who were genuinely suffering for the Lord. But the purpose of their fasting is just not to put on a display. Rather, it's to draw attention to ourselves that we might win the praise of men. That should never be true. That should never be true. There should be the proper appearance. Not only the proper appearance, there should be the proper appeal. Again, the text makes it very clear the appeal is not to put on a show of fasting that draws attention. Rather, it is seeking God's attention that we desire. And then there needs to be the proper awareness. There needs to be a proper confidence. And again, this is the same thing we saw before concerning secret prayer, that the God who sees in secret will reward openly. One writer said it like this. He said, if our sincere motive is to serve the Lord and please Him, we can rest assured He will notice. He will notice. And whether we are fasting, praying, singing, preaching, witnessing, or just serving others, we must do all with a heart for the Lord. Now let me close by saying this. Fasting does not have to be limited to food. Fasting does not have to be limited to food. We can fast in other ways as well. However, when choosing something to fast, it's important that we choose something that is meaningful to us. It's something that is meaningful to us. For example, it would mean nothing if I determined that I was going to fast by not eating liver for 7 days. That means nothing, because I hate liver. I could fast from that for the rest of my life and it wouldn't bother me at all. In fact, it would make me very happy. But to receive spiritual benefits from fasting, okay? To receive spiritual benefits from fasting, we have to be willing to surrender something that means something to us. We need to surrender something that we would naturally enjoy. Can I make just a couple of suggestions? We could actually declare that we're going to take a fast and we're going to turn off social media for 24 hours. And instead of looking at Facebook, we're going to spend time with God. We could actually make a fast and determine that we're going to give up the internet for 24 hours. We could make a fast and determine that we're going to give up socializing for 24 hours. And we're just going to focus on spending time alone with the Lord. Spending time alone with the Lord. And during that 24 hours, instead of doing all those other things, we're going to determine that we're going to focus our hearts on God by spending extra time in His Word and spending extra time in His presence in prayer. Let me make a confession. As for myself, I desire to have a closer walk with God. I'm not as close to God as I wish I was. I'm not as close to God as I would like to be. In fact, I pray that I never become satisfied with my relationship with God. I pray I never reach the point where I think, I arrived. Because about the time you think that, you haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. My desire is that I might always draw nearer to Him. But here's the point. I will never achieve that if I'm unwilling to pay the price and put aside some of the things of this world that demand my attention. Now, please understand, they're not sinful things. They're just things that distract me from drawing closer to God. See? They're things that get in the way. Sometimes we just call it life. And it gets in the way and it hinders us from drawing closer to the Lord as we should. Sometimes we just need to be willing to put those things aside and say, God, today, for the next 24 hours, I'm going to make You my absolute focus. I'm going to make You my absolute focus. Now, what about you? What about you? Are you willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to achieve such a walk with God? Are you willing to do that? Oh, may God help it. May God help that to be so. Fasting. Important subject. May God help us to be instructed by it. Heavenly Father, we thank You.